Welcome to the Swine Time Podcast here at Pipestone. I'm your host, Dr. Spencer Wayne. I am one of the staff veterinarians, one of the owners at Pipestone Holdings, and I'm the host of this podcast, and it's an opportunity for me to bring interesting people to talk about interesting topics within our world, with our little piece of the world here in pig production. Today, I've got a special guest. He's my first lawn care person that I've ever worked with. He mowed my lawn diligently throughout all the summers of 2009, 2010, I think 2011, somewhere in there. So welcome Hayden Kirkhart, Hayden is also one of our nutritionists here at Pipestone. That's probably a second point I should add. And he's gonna talk to us about getting back to the basics with regard to nutrition. Hayden, I'll quit talking. Introduce yourself a little bit. Who are you?
Hey, Spencer. Thanks for that introduction. It's probably the nicest introduction you've ever given me. Usually you just hammers down on that lawn care deal, but probably the best lawn in Pipestone at that time. So I can't really argue with that one. But I will say Spencer did pay good. But nope, today my role would be as a nutritionist with the company, really focused in wean to finish operations there. And it's been pretty fun. I've been here for about 2 years now. But it's one of those things where you can say you're kind of a Pipestone born and raised kid, and you come back to the operation, and that's where I met Spencer, was in Pipestone. So it's pretty cool to come back to the company that is a part of your community where you were raised in. And I'm glad to be here, Spencer.
So you were educated at SDSU first,
yep.
Animal science program, prop, I'm guessing, animal
yep.
insight program. Then you went to grad school down at K-State.
You bet. So South Dakota State, go Jacks, gonna go win the Summit League this year, gotta throw that shout out. And then Kansas State down at the Swine Nutrition Program, where it's an incredible, talented group of professors down there. So pretty thankful to learn with them.
Yeah, kind of a machine that keeps chugging away every year at K-State. All right, and then back to Pipestone.
And then back to Pipestone. Well, actually Baltic. I live in Baltic, South Dakota there with my wife and our dog, and hopefully sooner, little baby girl.
So, okay. Yeah. Wait, about a month?
About a month. So life is going to go upside down for me, and it's going to be a learning experience. My wife did not like the joke about hanging a heat lamp or a brooder with a couple mats in the nursery. But I figured that's how we get these little pigs started.
I know. I had similar thoughts that we would just build a stainless steel floored nursery, like coat everything in stainless so you could pressure wash it down easily at the end of the day. But my wife didn't go for that either.
And if you have a pit, you don't have to change diapers, right?
No, exactly. Just a good wash job. All right, enough of that. Today, starting pigs right. We're back to the basics. Let's start out with just starting pigs right. You know, I've seen you with your clients, and oftentimes my clients talk about the importance of getting the nursery diet right. But then there's a lot of management things as well. And you focus, I think, really well on really good nursery diets for starting. But we'll get into that in a second. What are the key things as far as non-nutritional items you got to have in place before the nutrition can be good?
Yeah, I think one of the big things is the three big ones, right? A pig can live 3 minutes without air, 3 days without water, and 3 weeks without feed. Granted, not 3 weeks, but it's the 3-3-3.
Yeah.
If you don't have water, nothing's going to live. Then you got to go in there. How's the air feel? Am I getting enough air movement? I think a lot of guys forget about air and ventilation. They like it hot, they like it stuffy. Spencer, what likes to grow in hot and stuffy environments?
Lots of bad bacteria also do. So that's, yeah, exactly. And so the air, what you just said, and then the water thing, it seemed like huge impacts of a guy that puts the same pig in one nursery versus the other. But the one nursery, they got little red bowls. They're chored multiple times in that first few days where they're inspired to get up and drink out of the little red bowls, mostly for hydration, sometimes gruel, but just get the intake. And then the guy says, well, they got feed in the feed pan, they're not eating. It's like, well, hold on. Or they got water in the cup, they're not drinking. If you put it in that bowl, just the behavior drives all the intake. It's, mm-hmm. it's pretty incredible. So you can have the best or worst nutrition, but if you don't inspire the pigs to get up and consume that in the first few days, even the best pigs won't be as good as it could have been. So it's a huge deal that first few days. They count way more than all the rest of the days in the nursery combined, is if you can get them started right.
Yeah, it's. I agree with you. And going back to the behavior, you know, kind of a little bit to what you said, mat feeding is a huge one to getting those pigs up. Two reasons. You're in the pen, you give them activity. A lot of those times, those little buggers don't even want to get up when you walk into the barn. Now, if you're in the pen, you got the stimulation, I'm up. Oh, hey, I'm actually hungry, or oh, hey, I'm thirsty, so I'm gonna go find that water, I'm gonna go find that feeder, But then when you're mat feeding, I think one of the, you know, you can throw your feed wherever you want, but pigs are incredibly social. You'll see it with nipple bars. They just line up. They like to go head to head. A, it looks like a sow's underline and they're going to go head to head, but they're also socializing their mat feed like that. Line that mat up like a cattle feed bunk and make your feed in a line. Mm-hmm. And it's incredible how those pigs go head to head and they just look at each other. They're eating, they're socializing. I think you get a lot more stimulation with those pigs, and it's pigs are huge social animals. Mm-hmm. So
no, I 100%. Brett, we keep talking about this forever, but it is super important, like the first few days of just getting that behavior, because they just came off a saddle where they all went up in a group and drank together, and all of a sudden you're putting them in an environment where, oh, now you're going to all take nice turns. No, they want to get up and do it as a social group as well. And if you get them through the first few days, they take care of themselves largely after that, but get their guts going. And if the gut sits empty for some period of time, my experience and just the observation would be that diarrhea starts to set in. They get enteric problems if they're not having steady intake in the first few days. So get the water in, get the feed in, and the air's in there in the background.
Yeah.
Full value pigs. The common complaint in the nursery would be, man, the pigs in general look good, but man, I got these fallouts. The complaint about fallouts, and then you spend a lot of time working on where did it come from? Is it, oh, it's the sow unit sent me bum pigs, they don't start. Maybe there's some issues there, but how do you address the situation of I got fallout pigs?
You know, if you go into a barn and you see fallout pigs occurring, usually after day 7 is the rule of thumb when you can start saying it's probably either an environment or it's a nutrition issue. Now, if you can go in there and you can say, oh, my environment's great, it's not hot, or it's not overly hot, and it's not humid, or I'm not drafting and cooling these pigs, but it's beautiful, these pigs lay out great, but I'm still seeing fallbacks, I'd say it generally tends to go back to the nutrition platform at that point. And really, it's probably either because they're not eating, or we're burning their stomachs out, or it's just not an optimal diet. And that can be a wide grade term that you say, right? But I would say in my experience is the diets that seem to have more fallouts tend to be the more inexpensive diets. So
you mentioned two things that I would, you know, one is they're not, well, I'll get to the mysterious one to be first. What do you mean by burn their stomachs out?
Mm-hmm. Burn their stomachs out. Essentially, either A, they're not eating, so you're letting a bug load go and they're just scouring, or they're eating something that's way too hot of a diet, or generally, when I say too hot, either too high in crude protein is a general term, not the pure scientific term, or it's usually too hot in bean meal. A lot of people don't understand bean meal makes your nursery diets look really cheap because it's cheaper than using your alternative products such as whey, sugars, plasma, other animal proteins that generally have these pigs starting incredibly well, but it makes your diets more expensive. Mm-hmm. And so that bean meal helps reduce that cost. But at the same time, these little pigs switching from milk to a corn soy diet, boy, that bean meal, they're allergic to it. There's that enzyme called trypsin, causes inflammation in that stomach and then that in their GI tract essentially. And that's what really causes that looseness early on generally. And when I say you're burning out their stomachs, it's because they're going through a screen door and it's not good.
Okay. So yeah, basically their GI tract is on high speed because of an allergic reaction essentially, or inappropriate protein profile or something.
Yeah.
Okay, so
it looks like a college kid that went and ate Taco Bell at 2 a.m. and then the next morning they wake up. So
all right, good analogy there. So the other thing you mentioned was not eating. So first thing is, oh, I got diarrhea, it's just going through, it's not effective nutrition. Second thing is, oh, they're not eating, which I would say, yeah, that's the common complaint, or they're both common, but it's, oh, the pigs come in and they're not going through their diet. There must be something wrong with the pig. Sometimes there's flu or something going on that's causing them to be lethargic. But how easy can the diet impact that? We're like, these pigs don't like this feed. They're just not eating. Is that a chunk of it that's diet related or management related, or how would you frame that up?
I would say it can be tiered both ways, right? If you left your feed in the feeder for a week prior to those pigs coming in and now we have a stale feed, it's just like if you were to go set your chips out for a week and you try and come back and eat them. They're stale, they don't taste as good. That can happen to these nursery diets because we have a lot of whey and, again, sugar in there, regardless of the platform it's in there. And now all of a sudden it's gonna be stale, it doesn't taste as good. And the other one, if it is diet related, you go and eat it and you get an upset stomach, you're sure as heck not gonna wanna go back and eat it again.
Yeah, so I'm just thinking, okay, what would you not do? probably wouldn't buy like 6 months worth of starter pellets or something and have them sit there through the summer or whatever it is that you get stale in a paper bag. Okay. I always wonder why my chips tasted bad a week later, but now I know. You know, kind of related to all that is you turn this nursery every 6.5, 8 weeks, whatever it's going to be, 9 weeks, some turn on a nursery. And at the end, you got this nursery three diet or whatever is in the bin, and it's half up the cone. And like the answers are not complex. They're just hard to do sometimes. And it's like, oh, the hassle of emptying out the bottom of the bin or feeding it through a bucketing or whatever. But I don't know how often it happens, but like, yeah, I had like 500 pounds of whatever in the last nursery diet left in, and it's me going to go in that first bulk delivered diet for my next nursery group that's going through there. Is that a super common thing? I imagine it must be, but how much does that screw things up?
I think it happens probably more than what some people think it does, but it's a huge no-no, and a lot of guys like to do it just simply to get both their tandem bins back, which is huge. It's a big deal for feed management, you know. Said if you have feed left over from the previous turn, it's sitting in that other bin where you could have called and had your other diet, and it gives you a little more flexibility, especially with your feed orders. But now all of a sudden, I'm running that other older pig diet through. I would say you crash and burn more pigs by doing that than anything else from a nutrition platform. It's just not designed for those little pigs. Yeah. We've trialed it a couple times, especially with these 24-day-old pigs. A lot of conversations I'll have is some producers just flat out skip that first diet. And they're like, well, I have all these fallouts and they're 24-day-old pigs. Well, that first diet is the transition from mom to corn soy. Yeah. The instant you pull that, skip it, or run older diet feed in, you're going to start to crash and burn a lot of pigs. It just, you can't do it. And it's tough to wrap our heads around, even as a nutritionist, seeing these older wean pigs. We've tried it, and it just doesn't work. And you got to be very careful. And I think it's tough for a lot of guys to just hold off on pulling the trigger and opening that slide gate and running it through so they can get that feed bin empty.
And it's interesting. A common observation is on maybe they got a really good diet, or at least perceived good diet coming in. It's like, yeah, they're loose. And then maybe because of the nutritional profile, it's not appropriate. There's maybe something that's causing the looseness, but it's an appropriate, otherwise formulated diet for nursery one. And they say, you know, they don't scour as soon as they put them on to the first grind of mix after the pellet or the next diet. And so then they want to advance that quicker. And it's cheaper. That's what's in the back of their mind. And maybe it is true. They don't scour, but it's not an appropriate diet for that young pig. And I see that constant split of like, yeah, as soon as they put them on that next diet, they seem to dry up a little bit. So it must be better for them. Well, it may dry them up, and they may have less looseness associated with that, but there may be more follow-up because it's just, you're advancing them way too quickly, or you jump right through that diet. And I'm bouncing around something I think you just said, which is don't skimp on that first diet because there's stuff in there that would prevent fallout. And really the goal is the fallout. You've got to reduce that so you can get as many, or as close to 100% of those pigs out of the nursery something looked like a cookie cutter that can perform the finisher versus, 5% roofie work. They were way lighter. They were like 10 pounds lighter than the rest of the feeder pigs going out, or less than that.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
That's fair. And I think it even goes back to a little bit tying it into we kind of touched on it with the bean meal making your diets cheaper, but it also goes into kind of what we're talking about is that first diet is more expensive. Sometimes the second and third are more expensive than that first pure grinded mix. A lot of guys, they see those expensive nursery diets and they'll balk at it. But in today's age, in a 1,000-head group, if I have a 50-cent more expensive nursery diet, or to feed that phase one, it's 50 more cents a pig.
Right.
Holy smokes, to get that pig to market, that's just two more full-value pigs.
Yeah.
Or if you're buying wean pigs for $100 a pop, if I can save five of those little buggers in a 1,000-head group, I paid for that nursery feed. And I think, Spencer, in your experience, it's pretty easy to pay for a little more expensive nursery feed. Wouldn't you say, I mean, even if you're not looking at Pipestone's platform, but other platforms that generally tend to have better nursery diets, you see the response and see it fast.
And it would change over time depending on whatever economics are going on. Right now, just for future listeners to frame up now, what is the 23rd of
23rd.
February of 2022? Wean pigs, it's easily mid-90s for a good wean pig is what the market would bear right now for wean pig sales. So super valuable pigs, and maybe in the future when they're $5, we'll be saying, man, $100 really? But yeah, $100 wieners are coming out. So 50 cents a pig, 0.5% of cost we're talking about. It's not even a full, it's 0.5% of your cost difference in diets they make, what is the effective difference that that 50 cents a pig could make for a percent fallout? Like, I had 1% fallback versus 5. I mean, what kind of differences would you see with an inappropriate versus an appropriate nursery diet, if you were guessing?
I mean, just from a fallout, right, it can be huge. I think the biggest shift is anywhere between, in certain instances, I've seen up to 2 to 3 or 4% more full value pigs just because you're having a better nutrition platform. Going that would categorize as mortality or fallout pigs.
Yeah.
So it can be huge, if especially if you're going against a diet that, it's really cheap, but it's high in bean meal, and you're burning out a lot of pigs within the first 10 days of life because their stomachs can't handle it, or their guts just can't handle it.
And to frame that up, wean pigs are ballpark $100, mm-hmm. and it's four, let's say 4%, let's just max it out, 4% difference
between mortality and fallouts.
Yeah.
Throw it together.
That's 4% full value versus not their
difference. Yep.
It's easy math, because then it's 4% of 100. That's $4 a pig is your impact for a 50 cents a pig diet cost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would be easily, and that, you know, even without the high value pig, the value as a finished pig later and not being sold as a cold light versus being a full value, which is a second impact. Besides just going out of the nursery, it's like, how many did I have actually go in the finisher and make it out with the rest of the group? Is that an amplifier, or is that just continue on from the same?
I think it's an amplifier. I mean, when you go into a client and you preach to them about just management in general, when do you tell them it's the most intensive, when you should be there a lot in the day? It's the first 3 weeks. That's when most nursery programs are, first 3 weeks. If I don't get the first 3 weeks of that pig's life dialed into a T, boy, it makes your finishing life a lot rougher.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of guys realize that. That's why they're there 2, 3, 4 times a day when they get pigs in the first 10 days of their life, compared to late in life when, if I started them right and I did the right management steps early on, I can chore a barn in 30 minutes. It's pretty quick because my pigs are looking awesome.
Yeah.
Whereas if I skimped early on nutrition, I skimped early on management, the guy that's choring his barn, or should be choring his barn, an hour and a half every day, late finishing, probably doesn't realize he could have saved that time early.
Oh, yeah. It's an easy trade-off. And it's funny, when you work with producers, the guys that realize that, they realize it, they know it's true, and they know and they know a lot of other guys don't, and it's like this, almost like a Masonic temple secret or something. Like, I just do this and this and this, and they don't have to worry. They know the impact is there.
Mm-hmm.
But you run into so many guys, you're like, I got other stuff to do, and so then they just skimp on the nursery care in the first week of just getting them started, first couple of weeks. Okay, so you've talked about economics here quite a bit, and things that I would say I hear when I'm out in the field is people look at my feed costs is cost per pound of gain, it's this many cents.
Mm-hmm.
And they really focus on that. Talking to you just over the last year or so, it's like, oh, you know, margin over feed costs, huge. Okay, well, why would you look at that? And I guess I frame it up as I got a nursery and I'm feeding two different diets and I'm watching these matched set of pigs, like they're from the same site, and I'm feeding one program versus the other, and I get to compare on margin over feed cost. Describe, why would you look at margin over feed cost as a better point of comparison rather than my feed cost per pound of gain?
So I think it's feed cost per pound of gain is a great measurement to look at. It's a simple platform. It's relatively easy to capture everything. Why do I prefer margin over feed cost? It's a true look at your revenue per pig after your feed cost has been accounted for. And at the end of the day, if I have more money left in that bucket, the revenue bucket, to pay my other expenses, I'm going to be a lot more profitable. And so, you know, walking you through the math this morning and why it's a little different, right? I'm just looking at the total pounds gained divided by my feed cost. That's feed cost per pound gained. Again, super simple calculation. Where margin over feed cost, I got to look at how much did my pig gain at the current market setting, because there should be different diets designed for different market settings, right? Going into the summer months, we're revving those pigs up and we're pushing them through the gates as fast as we can on the diet side. Fall diets, we're going to reel them back. They're going to eat really well. There's not that heat stress factor. So that's why margin over feed cost is a lot more accurate, because it accounts for those diet changes. It accounts for, yeah, I paid a little more in the nursery, but my pigs perform better late. And it kind of levels that playing field, because I take in actual revenue generated when that pig marketed minus my total feed cost it took to feed that pig. Then boom, there's the margin over feed cost. And at that point, it gets relatively simple to even add your fixed costs into that side. So it's margin over fee and fixed costs. And now I'm really dialing in how much I actually make on that pig.
Yeah, two things hit me. One is you gotta have good records for more for the margin over feed cost because you got more input, more stuff, more complex stuff going in. But if you got good data, you got good records coming in, I'd say more and more and more every year producers do have that. It's an achievable calculation versus just my feed dollars that were delivered versus how many pounds they sold. It's easier, but it's not as good. Second thing would be the fallout and they didn't gain very fast and I missed my market weight target by a huge amount and I didn't make very much, but my feed cost per pound gain was relatively cheap. Well, yeah, you didn't achieve your goal of getting them the speed you needed during the summer months or whatever.
It was cheap to get them to 260, but I lost a lot of money by not getting them to 280.
Right.
So it helps wash that noise out.
And the kind of the aha moment for me in talking about it was, I'm comparing one way to feed the pigs, company program plan versus another on the same theoretical pig. Maybe even do a side-by-side trial with the same pigs in your nursery you're finishing or two groups right next to each other. It's a good way to look at things point in time. Like my reality today with this plan versus this plan, it's probably the most valid way to do that. So if you're a producer, you're trying to prove it to yourself, do it that way with that analysis just to make sure you account for the fallout, the slower gain, faster gain, whatever, so that you're not narrow tunnel visioning yourself on feed cost per pound gain. That's fair to say?
That's really fair to say.
Okay. All right. I'm just realizing I've had 4 cups of coffee and you and I talk fast anyway. Anybody listening to this podcast probably has to change their settings and like turn it down to 0.75 speed or something.
Yeah. Like I would say I usually listen to podcasts at 2x. You're not going to be able to do it on this one. So.
Yeah. All right. I think we hit it. Anything else you wanted to cover on there, Hayden? I mean, you're passionate about this. You've got some thoughts.
You know, the other thing, if we're going back to the basics, we did touch on it, but feed budget management, one last thing, right? I think it's super overlooked, but especially guys that they order more of a phase or less of a phase, you can get yourself in a rabbit hole really fast by ordering more of one of your earlier phases. Now all of a sudden I'm spending a lot more money on a pig that didn't need to be there. And when I start cutting and skimping, you have fallouts in the nursery, or even later on in finishing, you can get that flank biting, tail biting, or just terrible performance. Yeah. So it's one last thing that I wanted to throw out there if we're getting back to the basics, but it's an easy thing that's overlooked.
Because your nutritionist will stage out, this pig needs this many pounds of this, and he or she will craft that plan, that schedule. How often is that stuck to by the producer? Pretty good. I mean, pretty well. Is that something like, most of the time they do overfeed or underfeed something, or is it not? It's actually pretty reliable. I don't know. You tell me.
I think it's done pretty good, but at the same time, there's always that one odd case where it's not, and I think it's just an overlooked thing that any nutritionist can make you the best program in the world, but if you don't follow the feed budget, sometimes it's also a downfall.
Are there times when you want to stray where it's like, man, these pigs don't look good. I think I should stretch my N1 diet longer? Is it like an audible you're calling out during the middle of the game?
In certain instances, you might want to do that. It's always game by game, right? Hey, sow farm's weaning up because there's going to be a blizzard tomorrow. Pigs are going to be coming in at 18 days. Okay, can we get an extra half a pound of that phase one in there?
Okay.
Then we'll do audibles like that. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Real good. I'm trying to think of something. We could talk endlessly on this, but I think we covered some good basic stuff. I hope our listeners got something out of this. And I also hope you have a welcoming a new member of your family in a successful way here in whatever month or how long is it going to be?
It's going to be about a month. So, but
yeah. So good luck on that, Hayden. So thank you for being here.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having me. And we can cut this off pretty fast. Spencer's eyes, you can't see it. They're turning pretty yellow. Going back to the comment of too much coffee.
Oh, seriously.
So.
All right. So thanks to our listeners. Join us next time for the next Swine Time podcast. Thanks, Hayden, for being here.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Spence.
Swine Time podcast was created for the pork industry and individual pork producers around the country. Hosted by Dr. Spencer Wayne with the Pipestone Veterinary Services, the podcast contains pork industry news, advancements in animal care, and how to enhance your productivity. Monthly podcasts are available on Spotify, Google Music, iTunes, Anchor, and on www.pipestone.com.